Welcome to the Brand Promise Podcast. Our podcast today is a very special one, celebrating Pride 2022. I'm delighted to be joined by one of Ireland's most popular and exciting drag queens ahead of a very busy week, Viola Gavis. I'm Louise Duffy and this is the Brand Promise Podcast. I am so delighted to be joined by Viola Gavis on the Brand Promise Podcast. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting.
Oh my God. It's my pleasure because I think I'm very lucky to have you for as long as I have you because you've got a busy week ahead. Pride week. What's that like in your world?
Well, this is my first like working Pride as like a working drag queen because I started Pride the year before the pandemic started. I started in the August, so like Pride had already happened. So I started the week after Love Sensation. And then obviously the year after that, we went into the pandemic, didn't have Pride for like two, three years. So like most of my drag career has been in lockdown. So this is my first like working Pride. And I decided to say, you know what, I'm going balls to the wall and I'm just going with it. So I took any and every gig that will have me. Like this week, I'm working Wednesday all the way through to Sunday. So
tell me about the gigs you're doing. Because like, I mean, it looks, I can only imagine that for somebody as vivacious as Viola Gavis, as, you know, this wonderful sparkly world that we see from the outside looking in, for you to be stuck on a screen, it just isn't going to cut it for you. So like for you to be finally able to be out there and enjoy the live audience and the fun of it all, what's it like?
It's honestly is like very exciting because it was like when obviously we had like mini lockdowns as well, you know, when the first announced like, oh, we can go back to like, you know, bars and everything and everybody was sitting down. I was able to work then. So I was able to do some shows and that was great because, you know, performing in front of a screen, it was all well and good. I'm not saying the opportunities were not great because if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't be as popular as I am now. Mm-hmm. And like, I genuinely do appreciate that. And it was just, it's just the feeling of like, you do your performance, you're like, you have the adrenaline and you have the high of performing. And then you switch off your camera and I'm in my sitting room by myself.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like 2-3 drinks in and I'm sitting in there by myself with a wig on and drag on. And I'm just like, what do I do now?
So, oh gosh, what an anticlimax after a show.
Especially with drag, after spending like an hour and a half to 2 hours getting ready. And then you're just like, I've done the show. And I'm like, what now? Like if it's in a venue, obviously I can go walk around a little bit in drag and, you know, just have a good time. But it's just like, it was a very tough time for like not even just drag people, drag acts. It was just like any artistic person, you know?
Yeah.
It was just it was awful. Very weird. Like you need the crowd reaction as well to feed off of the crowd's energy when you're performing. But like I wasn't getting that. I was just getting mentions on Twitter. People like were recording their TV screens and sharing on their Instagram stories, which is great. And it introduced me to an even wider, you know, community. But it was just like the human nature of it. And even like sitting in a dressing room, talking to the girls, you know, before a show, like
having
a few drinks, you know, gossiping and giggling. I missed all of that, but like, it's all back now. So it's just like so exciting. And I'm very excited for this Pride because I'm just surrounded by people that like I've worked with constantly. And it's just like, we get to celebrate the first Pride back in 3 years and everybody. And when I say everybody is over the moon excited for it, it's like all my friends have like outfits for like all the different days and like,
oh my God,
all my drag outfits sorted. It's just, it's exciting, you know? It's just like that feeling of like, we're going back, we're back, you know?
That's so exciting. So tell me what it's like then. Do you get nervous before the shows or are you just so in character that Viola Gavis comes out and it does her thing? What's it like?
Oh no, I get nervous. I still do get nervous. Even if it's been a stage like the George stage that I've performed on many times over, I still get nervous because like in my head, I have this thing that it's somebody's first time seeing me or somebody's last time seeing me and I want to make it memorable. And I always like want to put on a good show. You know, I always want to make it enjoyable for people because I'm like, you're going to a drag show. You want to see an entertaining show. So like, I do get nervous. And like, if it's a place I've never performed in before, then, you know, I am beating myself up all the way to, before that journey or like a night I've never done before, you know.
But I think that's probably what makes it good and what makes your performance so perfect. If yeah. if you have those nerves and that adrenaline, like nerves are just adrenaline, really. So, I mean, it obviously just drives you to do better all the time.
It really does. It's just like, it makes you feel human as well and feel alive. Because like drag is just like, I'm putting on this whole other character, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, it's not a version of me that I see all the, well, I mean, to be honest, I see that a lot more often than I see my boy self lately because of the amount of drag I've been doing. It's just, it is like, there is a total psychological change as well. Like sometimes with drag, because like sometimes if I'm just not having a good day, I won't be feeling it as much as I would if I'm having a good day. But like, it's that's what makes us human. We're not all these like, you know, intimidating, like 6'5" tall creatures with like big hair and big heels, you know, we are human underneath all that. So like me getting nervous, it just kind of grounds me a little bit, you know, it just tells me like, you know what?
So tell me, okay, so I have to ask, and like, you are going to roll your eyes at some of the questions I'm going to ask you, but I just don't know enough and I want to know more, because from the outside, okay, Pride Week in particular is like celebratory, it's such a celebration, and it's color and it's love and it's so much fun. And the drag scene looks so vivacious and inclusive, and you mentioned, you know, backstage with the girls and having a giggle and a gossip, and like it seems to me like a supportive environment, right? But there are people like me who just don't know enough, and I mean I'm curious, and so I want you to embrace my ignorance and answer the question,
because it's a stupid question.
Because I just think we need to know more. So tell me about, okay, you mentioned your boy self and Viola. Okay, so what's the ratio? Like how much do you, like, does Viola take over you? Do you identify as Viola now, or how does that work?
Honestly, like, people ask me this all the time. And to be honest, sometimes it just depends what stage I am in my makeup. Because sometimes if my makeup is going very well from the beginning, I'm like, I am in Viola's headspace. Sometimes it's not until the last minute when the wig is glued on, I have the heels, I have the nails on, I have everything, then I'm like, oh, Viola's here. Sometimes it's after I've had a drink that I'm like, oh, she's here. You know, it's not like a set in stone thing. It's just like once I'm in drag, I'm like, I am Viola. I am not Taz. I'm not the boy me. I'm just like, I am Viola. And then like when I'm at, like now, I'm not in drag. I'm just my boy me. But like, it's not like a black and white line. It's not like a clear cut thing. It's not like saying, it's not a binary per se. It's just like, because some of the confidence I have now as a boy, I've gotten it from doing drag.
Of course.
And then some of the confidence I have in drag, I've gotten it from, like, you know, situations and experiences I've had out of drag, you know. So it's just it's a very interesting thing. It's just like, even with conversations I've had with other drag queens, like, drag just makes you question a lot about yourself, you know. It makes you think, you're like, oh well, I didn't know I had this side of me, or I knew I could, you know, do something like this, you know? Like some of the things I've done on stage, I didn't know my body could do that, you know what
I mean? That's amazing.
It's like, it is a constant learning curve. And like, you know, sometimes we fall, sometimes we stumble. It's just the, you know, pulling yourself up by your heel straps and carrying on.
Yeah.
But it's just not a set in stone thing. It's just, I don't really have a clear, definitive saying like, oh, Viola or Taz. It's just like, because with other drag queens, we call each other by our drag names. We don't call each other by boy names, you know.
Okay. Even when you are just your boy self.
Yes, we call each other by drag names. I like all most of them in my phone. Like all of them in my phone, I saved under their drag names. You know, it's just even some that I've known for years before I started doing drag. When we knew each other out of drag, once I started doing drag, it just that became that thing where we just call each other by our drag names, you know?
And so before you became a drag queen, before you got into this industry, what was your life like? Like, what did you know it was something you wanted to do, or did you have other plans? You were in like software engineering, were you?
Yes, I went to college for computer science and software engineering. Yeah. And it was like, I started it while I was still in college. Like, I think it was second year or... tail end of just as I was about to go into third year, that's when I started it. And then I did it. I was working retail. I'd get like one gig a month, and like, you know, I do here and there, here and there. And then I went on into placement. I was in RTE on placement. And then like then it just started picking. And then we went into the pandemic, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
I was working from home for placement. And then drag just started picking up with the competitions for the likes of like Victoria and Davina were doing.
Okay.
At the virtual Queens of Captivity and like lip sync back and all these things. So like I was like, you know what? Why not?
I'm at home. I may as well.
So I started doing them.
Was there anybody that held your hand, or is there anybody that kind of guided you through or helped you, like even in terms of makeup and clothes and like
how
to make it all work?
A majority of the drag queens I've worked with have all helped me in one way or another. Like Pixie Wu has helped me immensely. Chanel, Veda, you know, like Davina and Victoria, they've all helped me in their own way. Like Pixie Wu has helped me a lot with the makeup that I have on now, like the way that I paint my face now. Pixie Wu has helped me a lot. Chanel has helped me with like wigs and stuff like that. And there's a drag queen called Alicia, and she helps me with wigs all the time. A drag queen called Anxiety has given me outfits, has given me like tips when performing and stuff. Amazing. And it's just like everybody does wants to see everybody succeed, and everybody helps everybody, you know. So
I've gotten a lot of help. Has it been like that, you know, from people outside the drag scene? Has it like, you know, your family, your friends, what do they think of the transformation?
Like, I've gotten like wigs or Christmas presents, I've gotten makeup and stuff like that, you know. So like people have helped, and also like a lot of my friends come to every single one of my shows, you know, like I always have somebody, a familiar face that I know there. And it's just like, those things do help a lot. It may not just be saying like, oh, makeup or like this. It's just like, even my friends showing up to a show or like, you know, buying to my stories and stuff like that, that does help a lot. And it's just, I am genuinely surrounded by a big circle of love. And sometimes I do take that for granted, you know, cause I'm like, I know it's always going to be there. So sometimes I forget to appreciate it. So I'm always like, it'll be there. Like, you know, I don't have to. Yeah. So like, especially when I got really busy in the last few weeks, I did kind of like forget that. And I was just like, you know, because I was just like busy. I'd be like, go for a show, come home, have another show the next day, you know, and do that. And I was just like in that mindset that I was like, hold on, let me take a step back. Let me look at this and, you know, take it all in and realize. So it's just, there's always,
and appreciate. Yeah,
you just like, and I find that if you don't, like, because sometimes then those people would just think, oh, you're over it, and then like you go and ask them for help again, then they won't be as,
I know, right? Yes,
help you, you know.
So in terms of your own journey then, and you know, embracing drag, how has that allowed you to explore your gender identity? I know this must be a very individual thing for everybody, for every drag queen, but how has it allowed you to explore your gender?
I've had these conversations with some of the queens that I've worked with before, and it's just like, I did question my gender a little bit, because, you know, because it's just because I was like, why do I feel so confident dressed as a woman? And it was just, I'm not saying that every drag queen goes through this. It's just like, for me personally, that's how I was. And it just like it made me think of gender in a way that I'd never thought of. Cause I realized, I was like, I don't want to be a woman. I'm very comfortable in my cisgender nature of being a man. I'm very comfortable in that. And it's just, some people do have drag is like part of their journey, and then they realize they're trans. Because the drag, like, you know, some of the queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, you know, they did, you know, drag and stuff. And then they were just there. And then they came out as trans later on, or, you know, as soon as the show finished, like in the season just gone there. It's just like a good amount of people in them realized they were trans. And then they came out during the course of the show. So it's just, it depends.
It's very different, you know, for everybody.
Very different for everybody, you know. Like, some people feel more confident just to go on the night out and drag. I don't really do that. I just go out like me. And if I mean drag and I just stay out in drag, that's different, you know.
Okay.
It's just, it's, gender is a very, very weird thing, you know. It's just like, it is not, like, if you were to ask the same question that you just went to another queen, they might have a completely different answer.
Okay,
you
know? Yeah.
Like, for me, I'm very comfortable in my cisgender, you know, me being a man as a man. But, like, I do drag because, like, I love the art form, and I love, you know, I love attention as well. But like,
were you always like that?
I was always a very, well, yes and no. Like, I'm very boisterous and I'm very loud and I'm just very, like, you know, out there. But like, sometimes it just, for me, if I'm in a situation where I don't really know people, sometimes I just tend to, like, you know,
retreat. Yeah.
Like, that's just me out of drag. I mean, out of drag. But like, in drag, I just, like, drag is like my pseudo armor. You know,
yeah. I'm just, Viola, like, is not retreating.
No. God, no, Jesus. No, she does the opposite.
Oh my God.
But like, in, like, I've always been interested in, like, the arts and, like, you know, the theater and stuff like that, you know? So like, people always said that, like, whenever I tell people I went to college for computer science and software engineering, they're always shocked. They're like, whoa, what? And I'm like,
do you see yourself pursuing that in any way? I know the answer. No. I know the answer to that. In terms of, like, you know, things, you were the first drag queen of color too in Ireland, right?
Well, no, I wasn't. I was, when I started, there weren't really many that were there. And like, for a while, there weren't really many that were, but like, there are a few of, there are queens of color. There's like Black Coffee in Galway. There's Chantel here in Dublin. Okay. There's up north, there's one called Richard. There's here one called Pluto. There's a good few of us, but it's just like, I tend to be the one who's seen the most, you know?
Okay.
I don't say no to a gig. It's just like, as in, of African descent, I think, I may be wrong, but I genuinely think I am the only one of, like, African descent.
Okay.
You know what I mean? As, like, a Black African person, which is, like, which may have been where I went wrong with my words in the past. It's just that, you know, sometimes just like Black just goes synonymous with like being African, you know what I mean? So that's why I always said, you know, but like there's, you know, Black Brazilians, there's like Black Americans, you know, but like for me, you know, when most people think, like, especially here in Ireland, if we're like, when you think of the word, you think of people from African descent.
Of course.
So like, queens of African descent, I genuinely think I am the only one. And I'm, like I said, I may be wrong. I'm open to getting corrected. But yeah, I was. And it's just, but also it's, there's not many of us.
I know. And do you think, is it getting bigger? Is it getting,
is
the community growing? Is that, and why is that, because, why is that?
I genuinely think it's, there's this, there was just this fear. Well, for me personally, it was just this idea of, I wasn't seeing anybody like me. So, like, I didn't think it was for me. And then it wasn't when I, until I started watching the likes of RuPaul's Drag Race and I started seeing all these Black queens, I was like, well, look, if they can do it, what's stopping me, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, there's a quote by one of the drag queens from Drag Race, Willem, that she says, if you can find a niche, create your own and fill that. And I was like, well, I don't see anybody else like me at the time when I first started. And, like, I was like, I don't see anybody else like me. I'm just going to start. And if I inspire other people, so be it. I am open, hands open, mind open to getting more, like, you know, queens of color, just to, like, because Dublin and Ireland itself is a huge melting pot, part of cultures. And it's just like, it's not reflected in a lot of the industries in the art world that, like, what we have in Ireland. Like, we have probably every race, every creed, like, multitudes of nationalities and cultures here. And I'm like, I'd love for that to be represented in, like, the art, in, like, that on the TV and everywhere. And it's just, you know, it has to start somewhere. We can't just expect it to come like that. It has to start somewhere. So I always say yes to every gig, because I'm like, I'll go, if I go down to the countryside and there's, like, another, like, Black or person of color in the crowd and they see me and they've always been interested, they could see me and be like, oh, well, they're doing it, so what's stopping me? You know? I'm like,
you're blazing the way, you know. And I think that that must, you know, you're doing something that you love to do, but you're also probably making it easier for other people to do that too. So there has to be, that has to feel good.
It, honestly, like, I haven't had people come up to me and say, like, you know, oh, I saw, I mean, like, I've seen people come to me and say, like, oh, it's the first time I've seen a Black queen in Ireland or whatever. And I'm always like, well, I'm glad that, like, at least you've seen that, you know, we are there. And like,
100%.
You know, go out there and support and do all that. It's just like, just the way, it's just, Ireland itself is very different. Like, with the arts, you know how the arts are treated in this country sometimes. It's just like, the demand somehow is there, but there just isn't enough space. You know, we're losing clubs left, right, and center. We're losing spaces. We're losing like performance spaces. We're losing like studios. We're losing things left, right, and center. So like, it's becoming a lot more concentrated. Well, not concentrated. It's becoming a lot harder to get, you know, a lot of things. Because like, drag wise in Dublin, there's the George is probably the main stage of drag in Dublin. There's a club night I do called Sis with Anxiety. That's another drag night. There is House of Wig. They're another drag night. But like most of these are not like an established venue like the George. These are all done in, like Sis is done in Bow Lane. Like House of Wig is usually done in Wig. And what is it called? Along the Quays, Workmen's. You know, so they're done in spaces that are not necessarily meant for that.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing that they're done in spaces that aren't created for the LGBTQ plus community? Do you think that, is that a good thing that there's, you know, we're becoming more fluid, I guess, in terms of what can happen anywhere?
Honestly, I think it is. But also, I think it was for some of the venues, I genuinely think in the beginning, it was probably saying like, oh, it's business, let's just do it. But I genuinely think a lot of these we have come to love and appreciate, you know, it brings a difference to their, you know,
I think it breaks down a barrier too, right? Yes. That it doesn't just have to be in the George, that it can be in the Workman's, or it can be, you said you're doing a corporate gig too. Like, I think that's amazing that it's like, it's breaking down those barriers of, you know, like this wonderful world just happening in this small pocket of Dublin, you know, that it can happen anywhere, you know?
But it's just even that, like, on Saturday, literally I did a brunch in the Bernard Shaw, you know, in
amazing.
Drag. And like, Wigwam does a brunch, like the Well does a brunch at drag. So it's opening eyes to a lot of people who necessarily wouldn't go to spaces that are like queer spaces. People like, you know, like in some of the, most of these brunches, it's like, it's like older like moms and like, or like you know, straight men and straight and their girlfriends or their partners who've been dragged to brunch, you know.
But I think that's amazing. That's what we need, because I do think that like it hasn't been a great year, 2022, and it's hard to believe, but there have been a couple of homophobic attacks and you know, some things that, you know, we can't be proud of, and it must be very hard for your community to have to deal with that in this day and age, you know.
It really is, and it's just, that just leads into the way when you know, when people ask, well, why do they need pride? I'm like, because of situations like this, you know.
Never more important than now.
I started as a riot with the Stonewall, and it still is a riot when you think about it. It still is, for want of a better word, a big FU to like society in a way that is just like, I mean, it's not as in the past where, you know, queer people had to hide and couldn't show. Like now I genuinely think, you know, you can go out and showcase who you are and be who you want. But there is still things out there that like, as queer people, we're still prejudiced against. We're still like, you know, not being held to the same, you know, level as heterosexual people. And like, you know, bringing it down to something that is so trivial. I'm like, it is not trivial. These are people who like sometimes may not feel safe in their lives. They may not feel, you know, welcomed in their homes. They've been kicked out of their homes by their family and stuff. And I'm like, pride is not just a party. I mean, obviously like, there is parties and like, you know, celebrations of pride, but like we are celebrating how far we've come and the amount of work we've done, but we're still showing there's still so much work that needs to be done. Like you're saying, with the amount of attacks that have been happening lately for like people in the LGBT community, you know, like people ending up hospitalized, you know, people getting stabbed, people getting like viciously beaten up in the streets, you know, like the likes of Dame Street, which is like one of the main streets in Dublin, you know, it's like, it's blatant and it is right there. And it's just, we need pride for those reasons. Like
100%. Do you always feel safe?
Yes and no. You know, it depends on the situation that you're in. Like in the past, I never would walk. Like I could walk from the George to Bow Lane in drag to go from a gig here. I can walk in town like June. But like, sometimes I'm like, no, I don't want to. It's just like, that risk factor that like heterosexual people sometimes may not have to think about, that like me going out in drag, I'm adding another risk for me to like get verbally attacked, or like people to like, you know, throw insults at me, or like, you know, even to get physically attacked. It's just stuff like that. Or like, you know, it may seem like it, but like you can hear when people are like laughing or sniggering or like, you know, you know, saying something, because like some people are just not trying to be discreet. They're saying it out loud so you hear, because they
want
to try.
They want you to hear it.
Yeah. I genuinely just don't like to give the satisfaction when I do. And like, it's not saying it doesn't affect me and it doesn't hurt. It does. It's just, you know, just head up, walk confident, and just block
and
it out.
And that's what I mean about that resilience, just like that, you know, like, who else has to experience that on their way to work or going from one job to another job? And it shouldn't be that way. And I just think it just needs to be protected. We need to continue growing the way we do. So as you say, like, pride is more important than ever now.
It really is. And like this, and also people are always like, oh, they're throwing it down. I'm like, we get 1 month.
Anything,
we get a week of like actual pride. Like this week is probably when everything is like kicking off, because it's the lead up to actual Pride Day, which is Saturday. So I'm like, we don't really get, like, it's not even like us shoving. It's like most of the times it's all like education. It's like talks and like conversations being had.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still going to go out and celebrate. Like there's people who've died for the rights that I have today. You know, people who've like, been arrested, like beaten up, abused, and so, and I'm like, there's, I personally don't think there's any reason why we need to queer people need to cower back and like, you know, go back and like not be, I'm gonna be loud, I'm gonna be proud, I'm going to, you know, there's people who are not on this earth anymore who wish they could have experienced this like, you know, the rights that we have, and like the enjoyment we get to have in this life, and like free, like I could walk down the street holding somebody's hand that, like, you know, a couple years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do, you know? And it's,
I know.
Ireland, we had the marriage referendum, you know, it's like, that's another cause for us to celebrate pride, you know?
So I think you are an incredible representative for the LGBTQ plus community and for the drag scene. And it's been so good. I feel like, you know, we've learned a lot. You have educated me, Biola. Is there one thing, one more thing that you would want somebody to know about the drag scene?
Just one? Well, I'll say this. Never
just mind. No, you can tell me whatever you like.
The queer scene, especially like... people who are not in the queer world or in the, you know, under the umbrella term of queer, if you go into a space that is the George, 66, Panty Bar, Penny Lane, or like when a night is happening that is visibly queer, respect the space.
Yeah.
Show respect. Don't treat queer people as commodities. I've seen in the George, like girls, straight girls who come in and they see two guys kissing and they treat it like a freak show. And I'm like, well, no, you're in a queer space, respect that. Or like guys who come into just see two girls kissing and they're like fetishized. I'm like, no, that's not on. Respect the space you're in, respect the people who are around you, and don't touch the drag queens.
Okay. They bite.
Yeah, we're very sweaty, and just don't touch the wigs. Just, it's just,
I'm so glad you said that though about respecting space, because I do sometimes think, you know, when the George is the last stop for the hen party, and you know, they're just heading along to maybe for a look, I don't know how respectful that is. What do you think?
Oh my god, you say like the hen parties, I cannot, they stress me out so much sometimes. It's just like, because like they have this superiority complex. They're like, oh, my friend is getting married. I'm like, yeah, that's fine, I'm at work, so sit down, close your mouth, have your alcohol, and just enjoy the show. Like, don't stand up and try to dance with the queens, you know, while they're performing. Like, no, that's not on, you know?
Really, no.
It's just, some people just need, like I said, just respect the space you're in, respect the artists, whether they're drag kings, drag queens, just drag performers, burlesque performers, respect the bar staff, respect the staff of the space you're in, just respect, because you are there, like, that is a safe space for so many people. You don't want to take that safe space away from them and make them feel alienated from a space that they thought was where they could belong and they could go and just be themselves, you know? You don't want, I mean, if that's the reason you're going, you need to reevaluate all your life choices and figure 100%. Out, like, why are you going there, you know? But just respect, that's honestly the big thing that, like, many people need. And it's not just saying to, like, non-queer people, even queer people, we need to respect each other, and we need to respect our own, you know, our own spaces, because like there's a lot of work that goes into it, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
The support is always needed. Yeah.
Okay, one more question. How long does it take you to transform? How long does it take for Viola to come to life?
If like depends on the day. If I'm taking my time, it'll be like 2 to 2.5 hours. Because okay. But like from beginning to end, that's like including like, you know, makeup, you know, corseting, yeah. ties, wig, outfits, everything. Like 2.5 to 3 hours, because like, you know, sometimes you just take a break while you're doing it, because it's just, yeah. you know, and then
it's a lot.
And then sometimes when I'm in a rush, I can do it in 30 minutes. Don't yeah. Just don't look at it up close. It's not, it wouldn't be ideal. And it just depends on the day. But like, you know, 2 hours is usually like the normal
yeah.
timing for me. But like,
oh, well, that's... Well, Camille, listen, it was such a joy to talk to you, and thank you for answering all my ridiculous questions and fitting me in this very busy week. It was a pleasure, Viola. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll be back next time.
You better. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.